So we ended off in the middle last time of discussing the dinim and of klicheres. We talked about that klicheres seinu balea on the one hand. On the other hand, there's this milui ve'iruy business. Fine. Just one last point on the topic. We mentioned Rav Moshe's tshuva about for the Bali tshuva. I don't know if we did.
No. So we
mentioned it earlier. So I'll just mention it again. So Rav Moshe has two tshuvos on the topic. Actually, three, but two. They're sometimes confused. They're sometimes merged together. One tshuva relates to a Baal tshuva, and it's dafka Baal tshuva, because of takanas hashavim. And he says that, let's say they had china, and it has a lot of value, financial value, or perhaps sentimental value. So we'll be willing to be mitzdarif three different kulas. Number one is, we saw last time that there are a number of Rishonim who allow for Hagala Gimel Pa'amim for Nisa D'Rabbanan. And after all, here we're talking about Nisa D'Rabbanan because it's a Kedera She'enu Bas Yoma. The second is we could combine the famous Chacham Tzvi that after, this is Simen Ayin Hey, that after Yud Beis Chodesh, whatever blios that are absorbed have turned into dust and nothing remains. Now the context of that tshuva is someone who cooked in a chametz stick pot that hadn't been used for 2 years, and he's makel, and even thinks it should be mutter l'chatchila, but he's hesitant. So he says b'diavad it's going to be mutter. So generally speaking, poskim don't rely on this chacham tzvi on its own. It's a very big chiddush. However, they are mitzdarefit when there are other tzadim l'hakel. So we have here the Bala Itter plus the Chacham Tzvi if they wait for 12 months. And then he thought, and there's another Tzad L'Hakel, which we'll get to in one moment, which is that basically there's a very good Tzad that our China could be kashered. What is that? Because our China, as far as I could tell, China and porcelain are the same thing. So porcelain, what is porcelain? It's a non-porous earthenware. So it is earthenware. So therefore, one would have thought that kli cheres, and there's no way to kasher kli cheres. However, porcelain is made from superheated clay over 2,000 degrees Fahrenheit, and apparently that causes it to take on the qualities of glass, including its hardness, its translucent. And most importantly, it seemingly doesn't absorb anything. So there are different opinions on the matter. The Darkei Tshuva in Yardei Kuf Chaf Aleph Sifkan Chaf Vav quotes a number of opinions. The most famous of the Mekilim is Rav Yaakov Emden, Shelos Yaivitz, Chelek Aleph, Samech Zayin, who contends that we basically should treat it as glass, and then it might not even need to be koshered at all. Now, the Mishnah Brura in Tafnan Aleph, Sif Katan Kuf Samach Gimel, is Machmir, you can't kosher it, and that's the accepted opinion. You can take a look also in Tzitz Eliezer, Chelek Dalet Simen Vav.
Where is the Mishnah?
In Tafnan Aleph, Sif Katan Kuf Samach Gimel. But we could combine, so in the case of the tshuva, Baal tshuva, so he says we can combine these three kulas. A, according to the Baal Ha'itter and others, you could kasher it, al-yidei hagala gimel pamim, because it's an iser d'rabbanan. B, the chacham tzvi, that after 12 months, the blios are ka'afra d'alma. And C, that maybe the Yaivitz is right, that you could kasher cheres, or maybe even cheres, I mean porcelain, or maybe porcelain doesn't even need to be kashered. That tshuva, he's only willing to be makel for a Baal tshuva, However, for a non-Baal Tshuva, somebody else asked him, what about if somebody who had, like, they needed to sell a set of dishes, and they wanted to sell, they had milchik dishes, I think, and they wanted to sell it to somebody who wanted to use them for fleishig dishes. They were only willing to buy it if they could use it for fleishig dishes. So there he was mako. Even for non-Baal Tshuva, obviously, b'makom tzorech, and because it's hetera bala. So there's an additional tzad l'hakel if it's hetera bala, as we've seen until now. There's a third tshuva in chelek gimel chaf ches and chaf tes, where he also cites the yaivitz as a sniff to be makel, that if you buy a home with a non-kosher porcelain dishwasher, so because it's a hefsid meruba, he said if you wait a whole year and then you run this cycle three times, so then you could be mako. Again, because you have all these tzadim lahakel. Here, even though it's isura bala, so maybe you think Rav Moshe would only be mako for Baal Tshuva, but after all, if you remember Rav Moshe's theories from dishwashers, it's pretty hard for a dishwasher to really trade things up. So therefore, again, he throws in the Yaivitz plus the Chacham Tzvi plus the Baal Ha'iter, to be a makom, a tzad l'hakel. Yeah?
Where were these first two tshuvas?
I don't, somewhere in my notes. Okay. I didn't... my notes are not organized, I apologize. I'll tell you afterwards. Yeah?
I was told by a worker at Bed Bath & Beyond that real China is made out of ox bone, it's not clay.
Entirely bones?
Yeah, and he took a plate... And he said, most people think China is very delicate. And he slammed it against the shelf, and it dented the shelf. He said, see, it's made out
of... But I'm saying, China breaks.
Bone China is 50%.
Bone China is
50%. It's not 100%.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I could tell you that China does break when you drop it. Whatever that guy was showing you.
I don't know. I bought the one that he...
Uh-huh. So, well, maybe your China's never broke. Yeah. Uh-huh. Okay. So, I'll tell you, it is interesting. I don't know if this is what he was talking about, but in recent times, they've created new forms of material, like alumina and zirconia. I don't know if this is what your China is made out of, but these are basically high-tech materials that have nearly 100% density. They're very smooth and seemingly don't absorb. Now, the problem, though, is that one of the sources for alumina is bauxite stone. Now, okay, stone you could kasher, right? But the Yad Yehuda points out that stone that's powdered and then reconfigured by mixing it and putting it into a kiln is din of kli charis. So, l'chora then these new materials have kli charis, status of kli charis, and they can't be kashered. So Rav Belsky and Rav Shafter both had a very interesting chiddush, again, available in the OU documents. They claimed that you could kosher these materials with Hagala, and the Rav Belsky brought a raya from that Gemar Masechim on Lamed Amud Beis that refers to several types of cheres, and it indicates that not all cheres exhibits the same characteristics, right? It says, Yiroka lo tibay lucha devade asivi ki tibay lucha uchmi v'chivri mai, and the Gemar goes on. So it never states as a rule that, this is at least Rebelsky's reading, that cheres must absorb. The Gemara says that we see that our cheres sweats, and that's an indication that it absorbs. And the Torah tells us that once it does absorb, then eino yotzi midei dofiel liolam. But what about if you have a cheres that you know doesn't absorb? So fundamentally it would be okay. Now this is interesting because this is getting very close to the svara that nobody wants to say, right? That our kelim don't absorb. But Rav Belsky and Rav Shechter both agreed that these materials are less, right, but actually lamaisa, are less porous than porcelain, and they're not actually made from clay, and therefore they're not included in the quote-unquote minhag to treat porcelain as cheres, and therefore you could at least be makel to be machshir them. Now you might think, like, okay, when does this come up? But a lot of the food that you eat turns out relies on basically cheres that's been machshired, because many times homogenizers use these because for their piston heads, because they want something that's really hard. And these types of kli cheres are just about as hard as you could get.
What are homogenizers?
I don't know. But they're things that are used a lot in industrial cotton.
Your milk is like an even consistency?
Anyhow, quote, one particularly sensitive piece of equipment that often contains cheres is the homogenizer. Because of their durability, piston heads are often made of cheres. If these piston heads are made from alumina or zirconia, then, as we've explained, they could be koshered. So then they throw in some other tsirufim for other cases, but they think that even if it's made out of real cheres, then if it's eno ben yomo and it's used with chalavakum or gvinasakum, you could be kosher it and treat it as pariv, because there's always shishim, so they throw in the rashba. And even though we don't hold to the rashba on its own, but bitsiruf, all these other things. So I don't think we'll get into it too much. But it is interesting to note that, that you know, you think that cheres, it's like the end of the story. But there is what to talk about when it comes to at least modern variations of cheres. We don't really use for food any more real clay cheres ever. Right? Real earthenware that isn't glazed and isn't, you do.
As I said, I have ceramic knives.
Ceramic knives where the blade is made out of ceramic.
The blade is made out of unglazed ceramic.
Again, unglazed?
It's the same thing. It's like insanely hard ceramic.
Right, well that's one of the things that I thought was so interesting that they were saying, that ceramic is one of the hardest things, as you could attest to, for your unbreakable dishes. Anyhow. Okay. I was also told that, the thing we talked about last time, the glass, the Corel doesn't break.
It does.
It does, yeah. So don't trust people when they sell you things and they say it doesn't break. Okay, fine. So I think let's finally talk about actually Hagala and how it works. There's a very interesting Archos Chaim in Chelek Aleph Hilchos Pesach that says an interesting clear, two possible ways how Haggalah might work. The first one is the one that we all assume. V'tam Haggalah yesh omrim lefi shekoach ha-resicha maflet kol ma shebala ha-kli. That Haggalah basically is maflet, the absorbed particles, and then they would get become batel in the water. Alternatively, v'yesh omrim shamayim ha-roschin hein kimo esh, shesoref. And that the cheres works like we think of Liban this way, but he thinks even Haggalah works this way, that the boiling Haggalah water actually burns out the blios. And he says the nafkamina is that if you hold to the second reason, which he says you should be machmir for, you have to leave the kalim in for long enough to give a chance for this boiling water to burn out the blios. Now, if you learn like the second tzad, the kasha that Tosfos asks on the opinion that Hanan de Oraisa, how would they mach your big kalim, is miyushav, because his kasha is that the blios go out and it Hananifies the water and it would go back in and you could never ever kasha anything that's ben yomo. The answer is no. It's sarfam b'makoman. However, as you see from that Tosfos, and surely the vast majority of Rishonim and Poskim that you've seen, we don't really accept that second tzad, and we assume that the way in which Haggalah works is that it's maflet the blios and then they become batel in the water. So this raises the major question of Haggalah, which is why aren't you concerned every time you do Haggalah that your treif blios or your chametz dik blios go into the water and then go right back into the kli? In which case, how have you accomplished anything? So there are basically four ways to avoid reabsorption. All of them are quoted in the Shulchan Aruch, mostly at the beginning of the Tafnun Beis. What are the four ways to avoid this problem, to avoid reabsorption? So the first one is shishim. Very simply, you kasher a kli, and there's shishim in the water connected to the kli. So the blios that are niflat become batel in the water. And therefore, even if they do get reabsorbed in the water, we don't care, because they're batel. Now, of course, this only works before Pesach. You could not kasher with Hagala on Pesach in this manner, because Chametz is in the Sirmashu. So even if there is 100 times the size of the Kli, that water will all become Aser, and it will go back in, and it will be Aser. Now, you could ask an interesting Ha'ara, which is there are opinions, we don't accept these opinions, but there's an opinion in the Shulchan Aruch that Chametz, and all Chametz, is Chozer V'Neir on Pesach. So even if it's a Mashu, if you had food that had a Mashu of Chametz before Pesach, the Ramah says we're Choshish for this Yavish B'Yavish. But there is an opinion that says even Lach B'Lach, or even Balua, is Chozer V'Neir on Pesach. So according to this opinion, how could you ever Kasher any Kli for Pesach using Hagalah? Because comes Pesach, and it's Chozer V'Neir. If you're going to say that the whole Hechsher, the whole basis of Hagalah is basically Bittel B'Shishim, and you hold Chametz is Chozer V'Neir, so how would this opinion justify that? So if you look at the Mishpat Zav in Sifkat and Beis, he writes that since there's no Saint Tamlefgam and it's also not Barnat, Kulei Hai Lo Echmiru. So this opinion that says Chametz is Chozer V'Neir wouldn't go this far, since you have the various other tzadim that we're about to discuss. Okay. Option number two to prevent the problem of reabsorption is not bar not. Now, obviously this too only works kodim zman iser chametz. So, as opposed to, for example, the previous answer, shishim, which would work even after zman iser chametz until Pesach begins, we assume that Chametz and Erev Pesach is batel b'shishim. We saw, remember, machlokas about that. Maybe not. Maybe even Erev Pesach b'zman iser, it should be enu batel because it's not b'shishim. Matirin, where we generally, at least the b'di'evit, assume that that it's because of the chumra of kares and the like, and therefore only applies in Pesach. So the first option works not on Pesach, but works all of Erev Pesach. The second option only works when Chametz is still considered Hefter. Is that till the 4th hour, 5th hour, or 6th hour? We'll talk about shortly. You can, you'll see in the Beis Yosef, everybody, you know, there's some that say 4, 5, and 6. We'll get there. But whatever you consider Zman Hefter, for now, let's assume Kodem, the 4th hour, right? Till the 4th hour, you're allowed to eat Chametz and Erev Pesach, so therefore Chametz is Hefter, and therefore it's not Barnat. What's the Pshat not Barnat? I have my Chametz Dikli. That's Tam Rishon Shel Chametz. I go ahead and I boil water in it. Water's tam sheni. Then in achanami, that chametz, those chametz dikablios go right back into the pot. Good. What's the pot? Tam shlishi. Tam shlishi shel heter givaldik. That's the second option. Now this is obviously the most powerful option because it could be true even if it's ben yomo, even if there isn't shishim. It's simply not barnat. Now the problem with this option is, one second, didn't we say in Simen Taf Nun Aleph and Sif Dalet that Chametz is Isura Bala? For example, we said that if you have a Shvod and you want to kasher it, you can't use Hagalah, you need to do Libun for Pesach. Why? It's a Tera Bala. Answer is, because we assume Chametz is Isura Bala, the Ramban and others. So how in the world, so doesn't that indicate that we don't accept not Barnat? Or we should treat this as not bar not the Yisura, in which case it wouldn't work. And the problem is that then there's a stir in the Shulchan Aruch, because in Simen Taf Nun Aleph, as we said, he treats it Chametz as Yisura Bala. In Simen Taf Nun Beis, he says you could be Machshir based off of not bar not. He seems to treat it as a Tera Bala. So if you look, the Rash Bantar Sabais does in fact say these two dinim are Tali Zevzeh. In other words, Yisura Bala for not bar not, and Yisura Bala to allow for, let's say, cliche, bala ideha or lachshiro belibun, are the same definition. And if that's the case, if you learn like the Rashba, then in fact there is a stir in Shulchan Aruch. The Gra, the Pri Chadash, both learned as a stir in Shulchan Aruch, the Bir Halacha as well. And therefore, basically, what many poskim will say is that you shouldn't really, in light of Simen Tafnan Aleph Siv Dalet, that we paskim chametz as Yisura Bala, so you shouldn't really rely on not bar not lahachshir your kalim. And therefore you'd need some other method to prevent reabsorption, either no sin tam lefgam, or shishim, or the like. However, we mentioned that the Chazon Ish in Simen Kuf Yud Tes, the Sifkat and Yud Dalet, And l'chora, this is muvur in the Rush and the Ramban, as we mentioned when we talked about this last time, that maybe you could be mechalik, and that with respect to using hagala and klisha bala ideha or we'll treat it as isur bala, right? Meaning to say these two ideas come from two very different gemaras. One is the idea of not bar not from the gemara in Chulin. One is the idea in the gemara of Avzar and Zvachim about doing hagala and kli shabala beheter. And maybe, again, I don't want to, last time when we talked a little bit about the lumdus, why they would be different. But for now, we'll just say that maybe they have two different definitions. And legabe not bar not, we will in fact treat it as hetera bala. And in which case you could be Mako. Yeah?
Two questions. Isn't this also being Gorim not by not?
Oh, let's get there. Okay. So that's one objection. The next objection you could ask is we paskin, well, let's say this. We know that there are many Rishonim that hold that by not by not doesn't work for Bishul. So, for example, the Rivan holds, we don't say not bar not when it's nasa b'bishul. So the Rush says, well, the Rivan could agree over here, or some Rishonim say that. Why? Because there's shlosha nasne tam and lekule alma niklasha iser. Why shlosha nasne tam? Like we said, chametz to pot, pot to water, water back to pot. So that's shlosha nasne tam. The Rush also adds, or maybe this is all that he says, that there's a difference between Kli and Ochel. What we have here is basically Shlosh and Nosne Tam, and two out of the three, are Kalim, right? As opposed to the classical case of the Rivan. What's the case of the Rivan? You have, you cook your potato in a Fleisha Gepat, so you can't put cheese on that potato, because there, you don't have two Kalim involved, there's only one Kli. Here, there are two Kalim, right? Pot and pot, the middle is water. So, at the very least, this is what the Prima Gadim says, Lamaisa, what you'll need to be Mako, is Shlosha Nosne Tam, and two out of three of them have to be food. And if you have both of those factors, then everybody will agree that A, there's no Chumra of Bishul, and B, it's even L'chatzchila. And we saw earlier, when we did not bar not, the Shach makes this point as well. Okay.
Wait, two out of three of them need to be
Kalim. Right. Two out of three need to be Kalim plus Shlosha Nosne Tam. Again, if you look at the rest doesn't stress both of those. It sounds like the Kalim factor more, but Lamaisa, we assume that you'll need both.
At least. Who said this answer?
The Prima Gadim Eshel Avram Sifkatan Hay and Simen Taf Nun Beis. Based off of the Rush and the Shach and others. Okay. So that's option number two. Again, option one was Shishim, option two, not bar not. Option number three is Eino Ben Yomo. Eino Ben Yomo, we know, is no Saint Tam Lefgam. And therefore, even if there's a Shishim, we don't care. Why? Because the water doesn't become Aser, because it's no Saint Tam Lefgam. It's Chilas B'liaso Lefgam. And therefore, if it goes right back in, it's okay. And even though, in a sense, you'll say, well, what have I accomplished? The same B'lios that went out, came back in, so why originally was it a chametz dekapat and now it's not? The answer is because, like we say, that if tchilas b'liaso b'shvach, and then it becomes pagum, so it's aser, at least midrabanan to use that kli. But if tchilas b'liaso b'fgam, then there's no iser derabanan. Now, when does this heter work? So according to the Ramah, this heter won't work on Pesach. The Mechaber and the Ramah argue whether we're mekel anosin tam lefgam b'pesach or not. The Rashi was machmir. This might go back to the question, as we discussed earlier, of whether the heter of nosin tam lefgam relates to bittel and chametz v'nisr mashu and the like. One way or the other, the Ramah's machmir for nosin tam lefgam b'pesach, and therefore this method will not work on Pesach, but would presumably work on Erev Pesach, even lachar zman iser. Now, another method to accomplish this, if the kli is ben yomo, is lahachnis davar pogem l'toch hamayim. Now, we already discussed it. Remember, the machlokas, the machaber, says it's mutter when you have the ashes in the water, and the shach and the taz are machmir. And we discussed also at the time, the Chazon Ish says that everybody would agree if it's something that totally makes the water nifsal, even though this won't work to kasher a kli cheres, because it doesn't guarantee the blios in the kli become pagum, but if it works through hagala, because in hagala all the blios come out, and then, or at least enough of them, and then they become pagum, they go back in. So everybody would agree, the Chazon Ish says, that after hagala, if you put in ammonia or bleach or something like that, I'm told you shouldn't use bleach because then your kalim will taste like bleach. There are blios after all, apparently. You should use ammonia is better. Ammonia will totally be pogame all of your anything that goes into it, but it won't leave a bad taste in the kli. So the question is, even if you, not everybody accepts this Chazon Ish, but even if you did accept this Chazon Ish, maybe it shouldn't be motel chatchila. Why? Because if you take a look at the Beis Yosef and the Ramah, this is Simen Tafnun Beis Siv Dalid, and the Magen Avraham Siv Katan Yud writes that even though we paskin b'di'eved, if you use Shar Mashkim, the kli will be kosher. The Ramban says that you can't kasher with Shar Mashkim. We'll talk about why in just a couple of minutes. The Rashba says you can kasher with Shar Mashkim. Ramban Pasha says it doesn't even work because it doesn't draw out the blios properly. The Orchos Chaim has some type of drasha. Well, one way or the other, halach l'maisa, we paskin that, but yeah, but it works, l'chatchil it's also to do it. So even if you think that kashering, you know, pouring the ammonia in will work in terms of being effective, is it l'chatchila? So the Pashto says it shouldn't be mutter l'chatchila. However, the Dirshu Mishneh Berurah in Tufnan base, a footnote, or whatever, number 26, writes that many poskim are makel even l'chatchila to put ammonia in. Why? Because it doesn't change the viscosity of the water. You put in a little bit of ammonia, it's enough to totally make everything inedible. Nivsal probably me'achilas kalav. And nevertheless, it looks like water. It feels like water. The machlokes is about, you know, could you kasher in wine or could you kasher in orange juice or things like that. But something that's basically water with some disgusting chemicals mixed in, so that might not be bichlal v'l'chatchila. Rav Moshe himself doesn't want to rely on this. And Igros Moshe Yerdei Achelik Beis Simen Mem Aleph, he says if you're in a real pinch, you shouldn't do it. You should wait till it's Eino Ben Yomo if you don't have shishim. If you're in a real pinch, you could be makel, and he says maybe do it twice. Why? The first time effectively makes it kosher, and the second time is your agalas. So therefore, it's a din. It's lechatchila. Now one last question relating to this kula of being machshir based off of Eino Ben Yomo. So let's say I go ahead. I don't have shishim, right? That's the common practice. Let's say you go to your agalas kelim at the shul. So there isn't shishim. I mean, there might be shishim for your one fork or spoon, but lots and lots of people, are you going to use this hagala water? You can't be sure there isn't shishim. But the big sign says everybody make sure the kalim are inim neyoman. So great, you're going to do that. But then I go ahead, so I kash my pot that way, it comes Pesach, I cook some onions. Whoa! Mechayel el shvach! So maybe my onion should be chametz stick. So the Prima Gadda Mitzvah Zahav Beis writes that in a chanami, they would, but you also, assuming you did your hechsher kelim kodesh ban iser, you have not bar not, so it's nikla sheheter when it was a dain mutter, and therefore the iser chametz won't be chal. So another advantage to kashering bisman heter is that you don't have to worry about dafer charef. Finally, Mahalich number 4 to prevent blios from being reabsorbed and being a problem is to basically take the kli out of the water before it's chozer v'nifla. Right? The Gemara says, "Idi detard lifla lobala." Now, this of course is the riskiest proposition because you have to know exactly. You know, leave it in long enough for all the blios to leave. We'll talk about how long that is, and take it out before they start going back in. And if you do it this way, so the Shulchan Aruch at the beginning of Tafnan Beis says there are all sorts of rules and regulations you have to follow. Make sure that the water is hot and this and that. Don't do kalim that have a lot of blios in at the same time as kalim that have fewer blios, etc., etc. So this is a very not recommended form of Haggalah because it could be totally ineffective. Now, Libun always works, meaning to say as opposed to Haggalah, which you might not be able to do on Pesach, like we said, if you follow the Ramah, so Einu Ben Yomo doesn't work on Pesach, Shishim doesn't work on Pesach, Nat Bar Nat certainly doesn't work on Pesach. So is there any way that you could actually kasher on Pesach? So again, according to Mechaber, you could do it with Einu Ben Yomo. According to Ramah, is there anything you could do? So there's only one option left, and that would be Liban. Why does Liban work? Because that doesn't require Bittel. That simply is Sorei Fesablios B'Makoman, so that always works on Pesach. Now the Pashtus is, I would have also thought a Liban Kal should work on Pesach, on something that Liban Kal works for, because Liban Kal also burns up the Blios. Maybe it's not Sarfam B'Makoman, maybe it draws them out and then burns them out, but one way or the other, they're burnt up. However, take a look at the Prima Gadda Mishpat Zav Sifkan Dalad. He writes that maybe you shouldn't do it on Pesach because they won't be burnt up, at least entirely, but they'll go back in. In other words, Liban Kal will bring them out, and then they'll go right back in. Now, obviously, that doesn't really happen too much, because then it should never work for anything that's certainly Yisura Bala, right? So most of them apparently get burnt up. So I don't know, maybe it's Choshesh that some of them don't get burnt up, and therefore a little bit of Masha will remain. Not so clear why that makes sense, but Lamaisa, the Prima Gadim, at least recommends against doing Liban Kal on Pesach.
Going back to Prima Gadim by putting double tariff on Pesach.
Yeah.
So when you kasher the Einu Ben Yomo pot and the blios go out as puzzle blios in the water and then go back in, we don't consider them at that point to be Kaman Lesa, so that then there's not even...
So what you're saying is, oh, let's say we hold that no sin kam of kam is like the Rashba, it's Bittel, right? So it's Bittel. So therefore, if it's Bittel, end of story, it's been Bittel, it's Bittel in the water. So since we don't say Chos V'Neyor for Chametz Shin is Bata Lifnei Pesach, at least if it's not Yavish B'Yavish, right? So over here, even if it's a Davar Charif, it shouldn't work. So you're right, maybe that's what the Rashba would say. The reason why that's not Pashut is because we assume it's Chos V'Neyor. In other words, if the reality is, if the Metzius is that it is Mechayel Elishvach, and you could taste it, which at least in theory we're concerned would happen, right? So you're going to go ahead and you're going to be... you're going to use your frying pan. Well, it's not use a frying pan, can. But you're going to use your pot that you kashered, and now you fry some onions in your pot on Pesach. You're going to taste the chametz, delicious. It's going to be no sin tam l'shvach. So l'chor at that point we'll say chos v'neir. You're right, it was batel, but chos v'neir. So that's why what you're saying isn't pashat. So that's why the Prima Gadda says it would be a problem if not for. Now, if not for Tom Hatter, now you'll say, one second, but also it should be Chos V'Neyor, right? The answer is, not bar not, we saw works even if it's discernible, the taste, right? Pashtas. So, now you'll say, well, what about if not bar not works because of Bittel? So you're right, maybe if you combine, if you learn like those, like Tosfos, and not Bar Nat is Alts Bittel, then maybe in a Hanami that would be a problem. But if you learn the Rashba, that the Erser is in Chal, it would be okay. Except the Rashba himself wouldn't like it because he thinks Chametz is Isur Bala. So when you combine all those things, that's what the Prima Gadim says, it would be okay. And obviously this is how we rule, because otherwise, practically speaking, you couldn't cook onions on kashered pots. Okay, fine. Now, lemaisa, what should you do? So the Magen Avraham and Siman Tafnan Beis Sifkat and Vav writes l'chatchila yesh lahachmir b'chol achumros even kodim zman yisura. So chol achumros, whoa, everything? So take a look at the Yeshal Avraham over there. He says no, it means one of the chumros. In other words, you should be makbid either on Eino Ben Yomo or Shishim. In other words, what shouldn't you rely on? You shouldn't rely on Nat Bar Nat. Don't kasher a kli, even bisman heter, if it's ben yomo and no shishim. Why shouldn't you rely on not bar not? Either because it might not even work, because chametz is isur bala, like we said, or because you'll get confused, you might not, might do it after the zman isser and the like. So therefore, according to Eishel Avram, you should either rely on shishim or eino ben yomo. If you look at the Mishnah Berurah, Sifkat and Yud Gimel, it sounds like he's saying that, no, you should rely on you shouldn't rely on any of the kulas, meaning to say, understanding the Magen Avraham Kipshuto, that you should require both shishim and eino ben yomo when kashering even bisman heter. However, if you look at the Biur Halach over there, he notes that in the large-scale kashering, like when people go ahead and they do, when many shuls have run hagalas before Pesach, it's much easier to kasher in the shul because they have a big, giant pot. You don't have to start worrying about if you want to kasher your pot, Evan Milubenes, and you could do things much quicker because you're doing it at home, so the boil could lose very quickly. Every time you put something in, you have to wait for it to get back up. So you do it in shul. Great. So obviously that's not relying on shishim. And the Mishnah Berurah, the Biur Halacha notes that's the minug. Doesn't seem to be too bothered by that. So even though in theory he sounds like a person should try to be machmir for both shishim and eino ben yomo, you think in practice the minug is to be makel and not to require shishim for kashering Pesach as long as it's eino ben yomo. If you're kashering your kelim before this zman iser begins, so technically speaking, you could kasher your kelim in a chametz dekapat. There would be no problem, assuming that and the lechatchila, assuming everything is eino ben yomo, you wouldn't have to kasher your pot. Likewise, if everything is ben yomo, you could kasher a milchik dish and then afterwards a fleishig silverware in the same pot. The pri chadash and the bach, as we said, sound like we advise against doing that. Quoted by that Magen Avraham, and I saw that Rabbi Forst recommends, says like the preferable practice. I don't know if it's a very strong recommendation. It's certainly not, strictly speaking, necessary, but the recommended practice is if you're going to use this kli for fleishik, so kasher in a fleishik pot. If you can use it for milchik, kasher in a milchik pot. But really, you don't need that, assuming everything is eino ben yomo. Again, I think the way, and I've only seen Hagalas Kalim in the shul once, but the one time I saw it, they didn't have two pots, one for milchik, one for fleishik. They just had one pot for everything. And they just said, everybody make sure everything is eino ben yomo. Yeah.
How is it ever said that shishim is a kasher of pot? Like the Magen Avraham saying you should generally have shishim.
Yeah, it's pretty impossible, right? I mean, if you're kashering it through boiling it over and it's thin, chush the dak and it's big, or you put it into a really big thing. Again, in a shul, but it would work. And if you put it into a big giant pot, you would have shishim.
Shishim can make it a pot?
I don't know. Sorry, but Lamais, as I said, in practice, I don't think people are machmir.
Why didn't the pre-chadash and bach advise against?
I don't know. People get confused, I guess. Not sure. Okay, next question is how hot does the water have to be? So there are some rishonim that seem to hold that yadza lettuce bow would be sufficient. If you look, this Lechora, among others, if you remember when we did the sugya of Iroi Kli Rishon, so Tosfos quoted an opinion of Rebbe Tam, who said that Iroi is Kli Rishon, Mamish, right, it's Bekulo, and therefore you could kasher Ali De Iroi. And that meant that you could even kasher a Kli Rishon, right, even a Kli Rishon Shabbal Ali De Ha'esh, you could kasher with Iroi. Now, Iroi is basically never Roschen, right? By the time you pour out from a pot, it's no longer Roschen anymore. So you see that those Rishonim, and there are other Rishonim that also quoted by the Beis Yosef and Tafnan Beis, who also seem to hold that you don't need Roschen. Now, what would the logic be? So the answer is that, again, like we've seen in many places, these hold that we look at Hechsher Kelim in categories. One category is Kli Rishon, and everything that is a din of a Kli Rishon is kashered al yidei anything that is a din of a Kli Rishon. So since Kli Rishon shalagabe eisha yatzo lettuce bow is a din of a Kli Rishon, so you could kasher in such a thing. And if you're going to think Iroi is Kli Rishon ma'amish, then you could kasher al yidei Iroi. However, the Tur and Simon Tafnan Beis and the Truma Sadeshin and Simon Kuflamid Beis say no, you do need Roschen. They say that kibolo kach polto is more specific. It's not just in terms of what category of Kli is this. Is it a Kli Rishon? Is it a Kli Sheni? Is it Iroi? No. Kiboa lo kach polto. So if it went in al yidei Roschen, so it only comes out al yidei Roschen. If you take a look at the Mechaber, The Mechaber writes, Yesh li zara lahagir kodim shal chamishas. This is in Sif Aleph. So it says, you should really kasher bizman heter. And then it's a very confusing lashon, because then he says, if you don't, then this, that, and the other thing. And he writes afterwards, one of the reasons why, after like the third or the fourth in his list, one of the reasons why it's advisable to kasher bizman heter is kedei shelo yitzarech li zara shelo yanuchu hamayim erisichasam. So you have to, if you kasher a bizman heter, then you don't have to worry that it went below boiling. So the Rama says, Haga ach rabim chokin v'svira lehu de'en hagala mo'el es klum im ein amayin roschin. Alkein yesh li zahir afilu kodim zman yisuro shelo yanuchu amayim erisichasan kol zman shemagil. So apparently the Rama understood that the Mechaber held that as long as you're being machshir kodim zman iser, you don't need roschin. And the Rama himself said, then we don't paskin that way, because we paskin, you always need roschin, it's ineffective if it's not roschin. Now, the Magen Avraham points out that this is not the correct reading of the Mechaber. The Mechaber didn't mean to say that kodim zman iser, you don't need roschin. Rather, what the Mechaber meant is that you don't have to be medaktik or worry that the water was roschin and then got cooler and then heated up if you are machshir bizman heter, because eventually it's going to be roschin and everything will be fine. Masha'en kain, if you kasher la'achar zman iser and you don't have a shishim and you don't have nat bar nat and you don't have nosin tam lefgam, so then it could be a problem. Why? Because they go in, they go out, they go back in, and you'd have to make sure that when you put it in, it's roschin the whole time. That's all the Mechaber meant to say. So perhaps the Mechaber and Rama both agree that you need roschin. Perhaps the Mechaber thinks you don't need roschin, and the Rama says you need roschin. Either way, alamaisa, you do need roschin. Just parenthetically, there's another svar you could say not to need roschin. If you remember, if you hold like the Rashba by hetera bala, so you could say you don't need roschin because it's like a lower level kashering. That's the way the Beis Yosef understood the Rashba, that he was meikel even without roschin. So the Beis Yosef thought we did paskin like the Rashba because he thought Tosus disagreed. And the Shach said we paskin like the Rashba, but the Shach thought that even the Rashba required roschin. So that's not going to be a very good theory. Anyway, as I said, Lamaisa, we do require roschin. But that's only if it was Nivla al Yedei roschin. So if you had a Kli Rishon let's say it was Tashmisho, Kli Rishon Shaloi Deor, and it wasn't Roschen, so then you could also kasher it that way, Kabo Lo Kach Balto. Or likewise, if it was Bala Be'iroi, you could be Mashir Be'iroi, or the Kli Rishon Shalal Gabehesh. In other words, yes, we require Roschen, but only if it was used for Roschen. Take a look at Mishnah Berurah Sifkat Mechatz, who makes this point. What about if B'diyaved, you are Machshir without Roschen? So the Shulchan Aruch HaRav is Machmir. The Mishnah Berurah Sifkat Mechatz writes that the Prima Gadim is Mistapek, and the Mishnah Berurah says maybe you could be Mekel if it's Eino Ben Yomo because there's so many other Tzadim Lahakam. Okay. How long do you have to keep the Kli in the water during the Hagala process? So if you take a look at the Torah, he writes that the minag is to put them in and immediately take them out, like Rabbeinu Tam in Taisus Chulim Kovches on the base. The Taz, Sif Katan base, writes in the name of the Kolbo that doesn't mean mamish miyad, rather you should wait a couple of seconds so that there'll be enough time for the boiling water to be maflit the Tam Shabala. And the Pri Chadash says we could be Mekel, like the simple reading of the Torah, you could mamish be motzi et miyad. The Shaar Tzion Lamaisa says, Sifkat Gimel writes, L'chadchila, you should be wait a couple seconds. So what's all this about? What is this debate about, whether you have to keep the Kli in the water for a couple of seconds or moments, or whether you can take it out immediately? So it goes back to the Gemara that we saw earlier this year. The Gemara says, Mifla Bala, Mifla Lopala. For example, if you have a piece of meat that falls into milk, the Gemara there is talking about Rav. You have to be concerned that it was Balea milk and then Maflit milk, and then it would Aser be Nisr Mashu if you hold Mina Labatel. And the Gemara says, well, if you drop the meat in and you take it out while it's still very hot, while everything is still boiling, so Mivla Bala Mifla Opalat. Now, note, the Gemara there is not talking about Kalim. What's the Gemara talking about? food. So the question is, how does this relate to Kalim? And what does this mean? So Rashi over there says, Dema shebolea eno polate, shekolzman sheeno noach merisi chasav eno polate. So it sounds like nothing is niflat as long as it's still very hot. So the Ramban says, in the name of the Rashbam over there, that this can't be right, because we learn out from Haggalah that this isn't true. If Rashi was right that Mashabolea eno polate calls mancha eno nachma resichosav, so in order for Haggalah to work, you'd have to wait for it to be nachma resichosav, and only then would the absorbed particles in the pot be niflat. And since we have no such requirement for Haggalah, so you see that Rashi's interpretation of the Gemara is wrong. The Ritva, Dibur Masel Kigon over there, writes, Inachanami, according to Rashi, if you're Machshir Kalim, you would have to do this. You'd have to leave the Kalim in the water long enough, Ad Shianuchu HaMaim Resichasan. However, others say, no, maybe you could be Miyashiv Rashi by being Mechalek between Blios in food and Blios in Kalim. If you remember earlier in the year, we saw the Rashba who writes that Kalim are more sticky, they hold on to their Blios, they retain their Blios more powerfully than food does, either because it's more sticky or because they have they don't have their own Blios of themselves to be polite, and therefore, sorry, the opposite. Food is more sticky, holds on to their Blios stronger than Kalim. Either because it's sticky or because they're polate themselves and not their blios that they've previously absorbed. And therefore, maybe this idea that Rashi's saying that it's not miflat until it's nachmer sichaso is only true for ochel, it's not true for kalim. In which case, it's possible that even Rashi would agree that for kalim, you don't need to do this. Lamaisa Rabbeinu Tam writes, that this idea of mivla bala mifla palat is only talking about the blios that it absorbed now, but not that which was absorbed previously. So therefore, if you follow Rabbeinu Tam, then for sure it would be not, there wouldn't be a need to leave it in for longer. If you learn like Rashi, then perhaps you would need to leave it in for longer. The Ramban has a different answer. The Ramban says this is only true because we're talking about milk, we're not talking about water, right? So when it comes to milk, so then we say mivla bala mifla palat. When it comes to water, no. That's why there's no issue with Haggalah's Kalim, because water, everything is niflat right away. So first of all, that's where the Ramban comes up with his theory that you can't kasher with Shar Mashkim. Why? Because Shar Mashkim won't get all the absorbed stuff out. So how do we paskin? So again, l'maisa mikra din, we seem to be makel that it's okay if you do it miyad, but the Shar Tzion Sifkan Gimel writes, l'chatchila tov l'shos ma'at. How much is ma'at? A couple of seconds, I think. It's not, it doesn't have to be more than that. Okay. Fine. Just one last hour on this point. The Dirshu, number four, writes that according to the Chamudei Daniel, remember our lovely Chamudei Daniel, who says that if you get something off really quickly, then there won't be blios. So he says, last time we talked about the Chamudei Daniel, it would be a great kula. But now we have a chumrah, because let's say you really, really quickly put your spoon into the Haggalah pot and then you take it right out. So just like that spoon wouldn't trafe anything up, right? Because you took it out really quickly, so obviously it's not going to be an effective Haggalah. So if you paskind like the Chamudei Daniel, then Me'ikra Din, you would have to keep it in for some time, not just Betaras Chumra. But we don't paskind like the Chamudei Daniel. So I didn't get a chance to ask Rabbi Willig this, but if you recall, Rabbi Willig was very into the Chamudei Daniel. But I don't think that he would agree with that analysis. I think he would say, no, you're right. If you had a Kli that takes a while to get heated up, you would have to wait for it to get heated up. But usually if you put something metal, you know, a fork, into a boiling pot of water, it nearly instantaneously will heat up and become well over Yad Tzeh Ledesbo by the time you take it out, even if you move as quickly as you can to get it in and out. And therefore, practically speaking, since I think that's the case, and maybe one should be mevarit a little more, then that's true. What this practically would mean, though, is if you were koshering with the kli that perhaps would be slower to heat up, plastic, let's say shari mos hashana, or wood, or the like, maybe taka, one would want to wait a little longer. Not because of the reason that the Rishonim say, but just for the practical reason, which is that the blios won't be polite until the kli itself reaches Yad Soledis bone. Okay. In terms of the Zman Isser, just Bekitzer, you saw in the Tour in the Beis Yosef, some Rishonim said 4th hour, some said 5th hour, some said 6th hour. Obviously, at noontime, Chametz becomes Asher Midirais on Erev Pesach, and the 4th and 5th hour are both Dirabanan. The 4th hour is a more limited Isser Dirabanan, just Achila, not Hana, could be Machil Bemto, the 5th hour, even Hana. So the Pashup Shad is that we would already treat Chametz as the Surabala in terms of the Kul of Na Bar Nat, starting when it becomes Aser on the 4th hour, unless you said no. Remember, we earlier in the year mentioned the Briska Rav, that there's a difference in the nature in the Isser Chametz in the 4th hour and the 5th hour is in Isser Gavra and Isser Chefta. Maybe you could say that if it's in Isser Gavra, then it wouldn't be considered Isurabala, since it's still mutter for something. The Pashtus is, though, it's mutter, it's already Aser at the 4th hour. Now, the Mechaber says the 5th hour. 5th hour could also mean the 4th hour, because it could mean the beginning of the 5th hour. Problem is, Ramas is the 6th hour. Now, the 6th hour almost certainly doesn't mean the 4th hour. Maybe you could like make it go back 1 hour, but I don't know how you'd make it go back 2 hours. So how do you resolve that? So the Mishnah Berurah says, yeah, lav dafka, that's what he means. He means the 4th hour. When he says 6th hour, it means 4th hour. There's no machlokas, everybody agrees. Alternatively, if you look at the Minchas Yaakov, the Chok Yaakov, he tries to say, well, you're right, but there's a difference because one should be machmir after the 6th hour, even for an Isser Mashahu, maybe Chametz is Davash Yisrael Matirin, and even Eino Ben Yomo because of that, and therefore, from the 4th to the 6th hour, you could still rely on Luchatchila, the kulas of Eino Ben Yomo and Shishim, but starting from the 6th hour, then you should be machmir for all the things. And that's really what the Ramah means. It doesn't really sound that way so much in the Ramah, but that's the way he tries to be miyashiv it. That's quoted also in Mishnah Berurah Sif Katan Yod Gimel. There is a halacha, you have to get rid of your chaluda, your rust, from your kalim when you do Haggalah. The Rosh in Psachim, Perek Basin, and Zion quotes this, and there are two reasons cited. If you look at the, first of all, it's based off of the Medrash Halacha, the Sifrei. Achas is a Havas, a Kasef, a Mikan Shetarch Lavir Chaluda, just Ach. Rashi quotes it on the Pasuk. And the Rishonim, the Rosh, the Beis Yosef, sound like the reason is because the rust will serve as a barrier and prevent the blios that are behind it from coming out. But that's the concern. However, the Achronim, and among them the Mishnah Berurah in the Siman Tafnun Aleph Sifkat Mechav Beis, sounds like the problem is because there's a mashahu of be'en underneath the rust. The Taz also Sifkat Mechav quotes this. You might have a parallel machlokas in terms of tlai, right? The patches that you shouldn't kasher with the patch on. And there too, there's a machlokas. Is that because the patch serves as a barrier, preventing the blios from underneath the patch from coming out? Or is it because of a concern of mamashas under the patch? And the Rosh, I think, is l'shitas on both of them. So there are a number of nafkaminas. One nafkamina, for example, is you know that there is no mashahu, like you checked it out first, or the like. So that's
Why would it matter if there were blios that couldn't come out now?
So you're asking like this. You're saying if they didn't come out during Hagala, so they'll never come out, right? So why can't I just go ahead? Because it's not Kli Cheres. Kli Cheres, we know, so is a slow releaser. But here, it's not like that. So unless you think that rust has like the properties of Kli Cheres, then I should be Mako. So the concern might be still that you will be wiped off or partially removed on Pesach.
Says, like, I would have said,
yeah,
that you don't even have to do Haggalah before you put the fly on, but I'm worried about Mamash or something. Mashma that.
Yeah, and that comes out, that's what the Magen Avraham points out on the Shulchan Aruch. In other words, what about by the fly? If you put the fly on Kodeh after Shabbal Isser, right? What's the Diner? So I think it's the same Machlokas. Yeah. Even though rust is a problem, the Rishonim point out, but like slight discoloration isn't a problem. Sometimes a pot might be reddish or blackish or something like that, but there's no actual accumulation of rust. So that, you know, you do your best to rub it off, but you don't have to worry. That's not the type of rust that needs to be removed. So I was wondering, what about tarnish on silver? So I thought tarnish should be, that should be okay, that should be just discoloration. There's no mamashas, right? You can't feel it. So, but Ray Willig didn't want to be makel on that. He didn't say it was wrong, but he was hesitant. But he was moda that for the minag to kasher kiddush cups, then you could be makel. You don't have to like polish your, you might want to polish them for yantif, but strictly speaking, you don't have to, because there, as you know, really you shouldn't have to kasher kiddush cups at all, right? I don't think anyone drinks hot wine, even Bofen Akrai. So you don't have to really, you shouldn't really have to kasher. So there's a minute to kasher them, so we do. But to be choshish that the tarnish is like rust, and therefore have to get rid of that before you kasher, at least that definitely, that's going too far.
Wait,
okay.
You never really get all the tarnish off of like regular
if you have silver polish,
they're designed and
they're cracks. So cracks are a problem besides that for the end, right? Yeah.
You can usually get the end off if you wash it very well.
But you can't get the tarnish off.
You can't get the tarnish off, I don't think.
Uh-huh. Okay. So I don't know. Maybe. I would think that even if you had a we don't actually ever eat from things on silver that you need a kasher, right? Can you think of something that you
somebody
actually...
Somebody has real silverware.
Ah, you have real silverware.
Some people have real silverware.
It's true. I would assume that if you do... No, people have real silverware and silver plated. For this, it wouldn't make a difference, right?
Yeah.
I think that if you do... Certainly, if you do your best to kasher, that's fine. Again, even silverware, probably you don't have to kasher that. So again, we're definitely machmir for klisheding for Pesach to kasher, but I'm saying, maker adin, silverware is...
Why are you saying
so again, we do. The Shulchan Aruch says you kasher klisheni for Pesach, as we said, but there's you could throw that in. Okay. One last point, I guess, and then we're out of time. Somebody asked me an interesting question recently. They bought a seasoned cast iron pan, and they want to know if they need to kasher it, and if so, how to kasher it. Now, apparently, these are becoming very popular again. Everything that's out of style goes into style. So for a while, everybody... Right, so they went out of style a while. And then like everybody got Teflon pans, and now they decided Teflon causes cancer. Nobody's into Teflon pans anymore. But you want it to be non-stick, so these thick, heavy cast iron pans, like the way the Bubbas used to do it. So why is it a shilas? First, I'll tell you a story. So I once went to my grandparents for Shabbos many years ago, and I thought I was going to be a good boy, and I washed the dishes afterwards. And they had this cast iron frying pan. I didn't know what cast was or iron was, but I washed it with a soap and a sponge like everything else. And my grandmother sees it, and I think she wanted to take it and bop me over the head. First of all, what was I doing washing her dishes? Second of all, because I wrecked the pan. So I wrecked the pan. I just washed the pan. So the answer is that the chop of cast iron is that there's this patina of basically every time you use it, a little bit of grease, whatever you use, oil, butter, lard, so it gets stuck onto the pan and it makes this black sheen on top of it. It's very thin, and that works as a lubricant, and you use it next time. So how do you wash a cast iron pan? So if you ask my grandmother, you don't. You like maybe you'll take a moist sponge and sort of rub it off, but you won't scrub it, and you won't use an abrasive sponge, and you won't use soap. So you have the same food you've been eating for the last 3 years. Anyway, so I wrecked her. I unseasoned her pan by doing this. Okay. So what does this have to do with Hilchos Kashrus? So if you buy now cast iron pans, so there's two types you could buy. There's the lazy man's cast iron pan, and then there's the type that's a self-service. Self-service means that just you get a cast iron pan, and you yourself has to season the pan. And that's a whole process. You put it in at a low temperature, and you do it for a while. It's a big pain. So nobody wants to do that anymore. So my grandmother, she knew how to season a pan, but nobody knows how to season pans anymore. So you get pre-seasoned cast iron pans. They do it for you. Great, what's the problem? The problem is, what did they use to season? Maybe they used lard. Agav, lard's getting popular again. That's another thing that was out of style that's in style again. So that's the problem. So who knows what they kosher with? And apparently, the kosher agencies investigated. I would have thought, oh, there's probably just vegetable oil anyway. But there's a possibility, a reasonable possibility, that they mamish seasoned it with treif oil, right? In which case, when you buy your new pan, you have to kosher it. Great, so I'll kosher it. No, not so quick. Because what did we just see? We saw you have to get rid of all mamashas on the pan. Well, the question is, how do you look at this black patina? Do you look at this as mamashas, or do you look at it as part of the pan? If you look at it as part of the pan, so then very simple. All you do is you'll do Haggalah. Not so simple, we'll say in a minute. But if you say no, that this is mamashas, so then you have to scrub it all off, in which case you've defeated your whole purpose of getting the pre-seasoned cast iron pan. So we'll have to talk about this next time, because I don't want to miss Minchas. So this is something you have to think about overnight. How do you kosher a cast iron pan? That's your homework for tomorrow. Abbas Hashem will pick up tomorrow 105. We will finish Hechsher Kalim tomorrow and start Tvilas Kalim on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and that'll be it. Okay, have a good day.
We have
Bechin on Thursday. Yeah.